I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Happy Friday, folks. Yes. Happy Friday. Man, oh, man. We have a very, very interesting and very, you know, big breaking news story that came across that happened earlier today, where a man has tried to ram his car through the North Barricade area of the U.S. Capitol this afternoon, killing one officer, one Capitol Police officer, injuring another. And that individual has been shot and killed by authorities. And of course, this is just, you know, almost three months after what we last saw. But it has been confirmed that a U.S. Capitol Police officer was killed today. And then the area has been locked down. And a lot of people are saying that this is reigniting tensions in the district that is still struggling to return to normalcy after the January 6th insurrection. Now, according to the Capitol Police, a male driver drove his car into two officers, then crashed into the barricade. The driver exited the vehicle with a knife, lunged at one of the officers, and was shot by police. The suspect was taken into custody. He and the two injured officers were transported to hospitals, where one officer and the suspect died. I want to play for some sound from the acting chief of the U.S. Capitol Police, Yogananda Pittman, to give us some insight on this. Check this out.
It is with a heavy heart that I come here this afternoon to shed some light on the incident that occurred at the United States Capitol. At approximately 1:02 hours this afternoon, a suspect entered what we refer to as the North Barricade of the Capitol. The suspect rammed his car into two of our officers and then hit the North Barricade barrier. At such time, the suspect exited the vehicle with a knife in hand. Our officers then engaged that suspect. He did not respond to verbal commands. The suspect did start lunging toward U.S. Capitol Police officers, at which time U.S. Capitol Police officers fired upon the suspect. At this time, the suspect has been pronounced deceased. Two U.S. Capitol Police officers were transported to two different hospitals. And it is with a very, very heavy heart that I announce one of our officers has succumbed to his injuries. We are not able to release any information, names, age, date of birth, or anything of that nature at this time, because we still have to notify the next of kin.
That was the acting chief of police of the Capitol Police, Chief Pittman, giving us an update on earlier the attack on the Capitol earlier this afternoon. As you can hear, Chief Pittman talking about just, it seems like an isolated incident. However, the Capitol is still on lockdown as we speak because of the Capitol insurrection that happened on January 6th. Police are still concerned that there might be other violators or breaches of security that may happen. And so listening to that, you know, our hearts and prayer go out to the family of the U.S. Capitol police officer who was killed today as a result of this this act. Governor Larry Hogan has tweeted that he was horrified by the death of another U.S. Capitol police officer in the line of duty, and that Maryland stands ready to provide any assistance that is necessary. And as you heard Chief Pittman say, the suspect is dead, but the Capitol is still on lockdown. Folks, I just, you know, the only thing I guess we can say about this is that this situation of course, the investigation and, you know, law enforcement has to do what it needs to do. But certainly, this is a very frightening situation. It's a very frightening situation, to say the least, because where people's minds are at this point and where the culture is right now. If you want to give us a call and join us in a conversation about this, 410-319-8888, you can certainly do that. At 410-319-8888. We are broadcasting live on our Facebook page, my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, FarajiMuhammad. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about this as we're talking about the latest in the Capitol, this Capitol incident where this man and apparently tried to run his car through a barricade. And he was stopped, but not short of causing at least one fatality, leaving the other officer injured. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888, too. And we'd love to get your take on it. Let's go to the phone lines. This is my man, Real Thomas.
Faraji, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm just leaving D.C. over here, man.
So you leaving D.C., and I know that area is still locked down.
It's still locked down. They just released us from out of the Capitol a few minutes ago, you know, because my company that I work for, we actually do sound for the U.S. Capitol and stuff.
Okay.
And let me tell you something. That white boy got just what he wanted. Suicide by cop, Roger. How many, think about this, during that surrection and erection that they had, how many of them wanted to commit suicide by cop and the cops wouldn't fire upon them, did not fire upon them?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a big question, though.
It's a whole bunch of them, Faraji.
Yeah.
And Acting Chief Pittman, man, she is to be commended, not only for being a black woman, man, but for being a Morgan State, I think she's a Morgan State alumni, graduate, right?
I'm going to check on that. I didn't know, but I'm going to certainly check.
I believe she is. I believe Chief Pittman is a graduate of a Morgan State University. And let me tell you something, man. I think in class of 91 or something, she graduated.
Yep, she is. We got where she is, Thomas. So you're right. My team tells me she is.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad I'm right on that part of it. But Faraji, let me tell you something, man. These people are sitting and waiting for somebody to tell them what to do right now. I mean, come on, man. What made you think he was going to drive his car through the barricade? Grant you, he hit two officers. They returned fire on him, killing him. Fudge, you ever heard the old saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight?
Right, right, right.
This fool, and he is a fool, he brought a knife to a gunfight.
But really, he really brought his car. Because,
he,
you know what I'm saying? So that's, he, I mean, of course we know the cars can be weaponized, especially in a circumstance like this. But he really brought his car. And
you wonder why. I'm wondering,
is it, Thomas, I wonder if it was a political situation, like a political act.
I think it was just someone who is so hell-bent on causing destruction. Now, think about this now.
Yeah.
This weekend, what's going on in D.C. this weekend that you ain't heard nothing nobody talking about?
Well, I know they have, this is the Easter celebration this weekend.
Uh-huh. There's supposed to be over 350,000 people in the mall. What they call the mall area.
Yeah.
Of the capital this weekend having their Easter celebration.
Yes, sir.
Now, this dude did that, so you know what security is going to be like.
They might stop that.
Those people.
They might stop that, Thomas.
No, they're not going to stop it. They're already requesting National Guard members to come back to the Capitol to stand on patrol.
Mm.
The church service is going to happen, whether they want it to happen or not. It is going to happen.
Wow.
You know, they may have to scale back down on some of the crowd that they let in.
Yeah, 350,000 people.
Yeah.
In on a mall. At this moment.
Yeah.
Seems to be. Very concerning.
Think about it, Farazi. That mall stretches from the Capitol.
I know. I've been there quite a few times. Yeah.
Oh, past 17th Street.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 21 blocks in between the Capitol and the White House there. And for that mall to have that many people in there, that's basically a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Compared to what has been put on the mall grounds before.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the big thing for this is that it just keeps bringing up the larger conversation, Thomas, around security of the mall.
But, man, I want to write a book, and I'm hoping you would give me the honors to do the foreword in my book. I already got the title for my book, Farazi.
Oh.
The title of my book, when I do decide to write it, it's going to be The Day America Quit Being Racist.
Wow. Okay. Hey, Thomas, you know I appreciate you as always, brother, and I'm happy to hear that you are safe and sound,
man.
Bro, because I do know that you work in D.C., so especially at the Capitol, so it's good to hear your voice, brother.
All right, man. Peace.
Peace, bro. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Folks, we're talking about the latest in the incident at the Capitol today where a man rammed his car into a barricade, hitting two officers, killed one, injuring the other. And we're just talking about it. Are you concerned that these moments, and like I said, we're literally like 4 days away since the Capitol insurrection happened 3 months ago. Remember, January the 6th, we saw that situation play out. Now, we're seeing this situation. Does it concern you? Does it concern you that the seat of power is once again, and let me just say this. These things happen. These aren't, you know, it's not like nothing ever happens. People have tried to disrupt security, disrupt the order of the business at the Capitol. And they've tried it during the Trump's administration, certainly during the Obama administration. So people have tried it. But what makes this thing different is because of January the 6th. We've never seen anything like that happen in modern day America. So every incident that happens at the Capitol, the reference point is always going to be January 6th. That's how I believe it's going to happen. But I would love to get your thoughts on it. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Kevin, to Mr. Leo. Kevin, talk to me. What's your take on what happened today?
I think it's political, like you said.
Politically motivated.
Yeah, I think it's politically motivated. And I think it's because of the border. It's a really big, the border crisis has really, like, been a major issue for, you know, people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, some people don't care, but some people do. And I look at it like, let's say the white folks, for instance, you know, letting all illegal immigrants in, you know, without paper, they just coming in. But what a lot of people don't understand is those people are taking those jobs, even from white people. You know, to me, black people don't seem to care whether or not they come over and take our jobs because, like, they normally say black people don't want to work, or, you know, how they come up with this saying they do the jobs that black people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But white people don't feel that way. See, white people don't want them coming in there taking their jobs, you know, and they do things like this when they feel as though that you're starting to, you know, things starting to affect them. This is how they fight. You know, they don't take it out on each other. They start going like you suicidal missions, rampant shootings. That's their way of protesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I honestly believe, like you said, that this is politically motivated. And I really, really believe it has something to do with the border because, you know, we're talking about people who, to me, I think Democrats are, like, letting in because it's all about votes to them.
Right. Okay.
You know, future votes to them. And
okay.
They getting the votes. They letting the people in. Then you have the Republicans. No, this, that, this, and the other. They're not voting for us. They're about power and for the next generation on who going to let in. So, I mean, I look at it like this. If the border was black people, I don't think they'd be letting none. I don't think they let black people in like that. I swear. I believe in all my heart. If they was dark-skinned people, darker, they wouldn't be letting them in like that.
So, okay, and I hear you, and I appreciate you, Kevin, for checking in, but you're saying that this is relating to the border. And you know what? As of right now, at this point in the investigation, just for folks to know, there has not been any particular motive that has been revealed just yet. But, of course, like I said, if an investigation is being done into this situation, but there hasn't been any motive yet. So this could be, and I know that we often hear this, but I'm being honest. I think for this idea can be applied. This could be a mental health situation where, I mean, look, most of the time, outside of what happened on January the 6th, most people know that if you try to violate or breach security at the U.S. Capitol on that level, when you're a single person, you know that's not going to end well for you. So either it's a mental health situation, suicide by cop situation, or there's, like I said, they would have to figure out if he left a note, if they find something in his car, at his home, something like that, to show that it was a political stunt. But I think all motives are on the table at this point. Let's go to Lolita. Lolita, thank you so much for checking in, ma'am. What's your take on this?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Kevin got me stirred up. I just got in the car and tuned in. First of all, I refute the fact that we don't, African Americans don't want those jobs. These Hispanics have taken all the skilled labor jobs from African American men. So I know some people who are in construction. They can't even get the job part because they're not from south of the border. Because the corporations that own these companies are preferring to hire them over African-American men.
Okay.
And it's a mental health issue. Whether it's because of race relations, feeling like they just can't take anymore, it's all mental health.
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding you clearly, Lolita. You're saying that in this particular instance, what this man has done was a mental health thing. That's where you're leaning toward.
No, nope, I'm just saying in general.
Oh, in general, okay.
Killings can be related back to mental health issues, whether they're racist, extremist, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Racist, it's all mental health issues. Because if I was a psychiatrist and I can put you on a chair, I would find something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You know, why do you feel like you're being deprived because another group of people has been in this country? That you feel like you got to suppress and hold somebody else down by their neck?
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with that thought process.
I agree.
So all heinous crimes have a mental health component. But the other thing is, every time a white person commits a crime,
yep.
they always want to relate it back to their mental health illness.
Yeah.
But when a black person commits a crime, something is wrong with us.
Yeah, we're inherently evil.
Yeah, we're barbaric. So yep. I don't agree with everything that Kevin says. And we need jobs. And nobody asked the question, why are these people coming over here in the first place? They're telling us that it's horrible where they live at. And we refuse to believe it. Then what are the economic policies from United States and other countries that have affected these South American regions that are making them come here? We don't look at that.
So you're saying, I understand that point. You're making a point. Like, they obviously are fleeing their homeland for a reason. And most likely the reason is economics. But here's the thing, and I respect your opinion, Lolita, and I thank you so much for checking. I got to let you go just for the sake of time. But I think that we don't know. And I know, because this conversation can go left real quick, because we can start saying, oh, well, it's the immigrants that come across the borders, they're taking our jobs. I mean, look, this is 2021. This is 2021. A lot of people want to come across the borders of America, especially now. We got a new president. You know what I'm saying? This country is still around the world, still being the narrative of America is still the land of the free, home of the brave, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You can be all that you can be. All of those things are still being pumped out about this country across the globe. Across the globe, right? Now, you and I may not feel that way, but that's the marketing of America Inc. But so when we talk about, well, why people coming over here, we need to stop this and we need to stop that. I mean, we do, and I agree with you, Lolita. We gotta look at, okay, what are the root causes? What's going on? In South America, in Mexico, and all of these other places where folks want to move on. What's going on in Africa? What's going on in Europe? Because it's not just, unless the immigrants don't just mean Latinos. Doesn't just mean Mexicans, Hispanics. They don't just mean that group of people. It can come from Europe. It can come from the Isles of the Pacific. It can come from Africa. Hell, it can come from Canada. It just means that these are immigrant or those who are not citizens of a given land. That's all it comes down to, folks. So that can come from anywhere else. Let's not keep the conversation narrow. Let's keep it broad and understand the full context of the big picture. Folks, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, Leo, Will, Gene, Clarence, and Drake. Stay rotten with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we have just kind of been given talking about what has happened at the Capitol today, where a man rammed his car into the north barricade side of the Capitol, killing one officer, injuring another, and essentially being shot and killed by Capitol Police himself. The acting police chief, Pittman, Yogananda Pittman, who is a Morgan State University alumni, has been updating the world about what's been going on throughout the day. But it opened up the conversation about what is going on within America, what's going on within our borders, that the one place that we thought was a fortress, the one place that we thought was, a place that you can never, cross as barriers, it seems to be under attack. And I'm speaking about what they call it, the seat of power, the seat of democracy, the United States Capitol. It was just 3 months ago that we saw a major, major insurrection, a major attack on the Capitol with thousands descended upon the Capitol after a Trump rally and did what they do, damaged it, and disrespected the Capitol. And now we have a single individual as of right now behind this act. Are you concerned about, what is going on in our country as it relates to political acts such as this? Let me just say this, folks. I think it's politically motivated. Here's why. Here's why. Now, we can go back and forth and debate it, so I'm up for the discussion. But the reason is because you could have ran your car in any place else. But when you choose a federal building, a federal institution, when you choose the Capitol, it becomes, I believe, a political act. It becomes something bigger. Now, if you wanted to kill yourself, you could have ran into you could have ran your car into a tree or something. But this man chose the Capitol. We don't know where he's from and what he is and really all that, all the details about who he was. And that information will be released and determined and certainly studied. But this gentleman chose the Capitol, which means to me that he wanted to make a statement. He tried to do something that he thought, that means things that can't be done. Maybe he's a supporter of what happened from January 6th. We don't know. So let's talk a little bit more about this. Let's jump back to the line. We got Mr. Leo Barrows on the line. Mr. Leo, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Ahmed, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Well, you're always leading us in the right direction, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you.
I might tell you that these acts of white extremism will continue and escalate, in my judgment. Yes, I think it's a political act. I'm waiting for somebody to ram the FBI building, the CIA building. What you must do consistently when people attack the government, when they attack the Capitol, when they attack the White House, when they attack the police, is they must be arrested or killed. And I'm saying it unemotionally, but the reality is that if you're going to use violence, physical violence, to attack police officers, the consequences are certain in most cases. I don't care whether he had a mental problem. I think it's maybe a suicide mission to call attention to the unfinished work of January the 6th on the part of the Confederates.
Could be.
But ramming the barricade, any barricade in that area will likely get you killed. I think there was one mistake, and you may not agree with me. The biggest mistake made on January 6th is that there weren't more people shot. I can't understand it for the life of me why the Capitol Police would allow themselves to be bullied, beaten, and not use the weapons provided them for their own defense and that of the legislators in the U.S. Capitol. There should have been more body bags. I'm not extreme, but you're supposed to use deadly force when you're under a deadly attack.
No, and I think that is, and I appreciate you, Mr. Leo, for checking in, and I think you bring up an excellent question, and I think that is the, that will be the question, the $64,000 question that may never be answered. Why did they use certain type of force? I mean, we've seen excessive force in a lot of other time during a lot of other circumstances, but then the one circumstance where you say, you're absolutely right, you're getting hit on, you're getting beat on, you're getting pulverized literally by flagpoles. I mean, officers are losing their lives, officers are severely injured, and you decide to hold back in defense of the Capitol. So I think that's a huge question. A huge question. Let's go back to the phone line. Let me hear from Gene.
Hey, how you doing, Faraj?
I'm fine, Gene. How are you?
Yeah, you got room in this rabbit hole for me?
Come on, you say, we in a rabbit hole now, Gene?
Yes, sir, you're in a rabbit hole. Okay.
Go ahead, talk to me.
Brother Leo said that in reference to the CIA, they, you know, not that they should be, but that they, you know, might be attacked. They've already been attacked. I was asking my wife, I said, where, because she worked in Washington for a long time. I said, where's the CIA? She said, well, ask Alexa. I said, heck no, because they would be investigating me or whatever. But anyway, remember when the man had the rifle and he killed the people going into the CIA? And I think it was in the 90s.
And I don't remember that story. Remember that story.
Yeah, he killed about 15 people, man. He just opened fire on people and killed them while they were going in and attacked the people going into the CIA over in Virginia. Yeah, and then Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, they bombed government buildings in South Africa during the insurrection there. That was part of the reason he went to jail. 1953, the Puerto Ricans who were seeking independence, remember it was a model. She smuggled in the guns, and they went into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one house member was killed and several were shot.
Mm.
They opened fire. They had guns. They were shooting in there. It's 1953. Mm. Somebody brought up the immigrants. And so Oliver North. They got to bring up Oliver North and Malcolm X because he talked about the chickens coming home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
And in Central America, remember, we killed a lot of the Central American leaders
mm-hmm.
and put in right wing government.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the Contras in Nicaragua. These are the people who are suffering from those acts that Malcolm was talking about in reference to the chickens coming home to roost. Cuba. I heard an interview this weekend, 1940, where Orson Welles and H.G. Wells were talking about these things. And predicted them, and they came to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, oh, man. So, you know,
it's a lot. And you know what, Gene? I know you're going to enjoy my next segment that we're going to be talking to Brother Siddiqui Cambone from the Nubian Leadership Forum, mm-hmm. Because we're going to talk about the Black Leadership Summit that's happening this weekend featuring some of Black America's most powerful voices. And
Unity, man. Stay on top of it, man. But you're gonna have to get this rabbit hole expanded, man. You got a lot of people down.
So hey, Gene, always appreciate you, brother. Please give my best to the family, and I hope you have a great weekend during this resurrection
day, man. Resurrection Day. God bless the Christians, man.
You too. Thank you, brother. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. Drake, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Hey, I don't even know where to begin now. I'm so discombobulated. I heard from Brother Leo Barrows and all of that stuff, so I'm kind of like everywhere with my thoughts. But I'm surprised that Leo is surprised of the actions because he's an older brother and cognizant of what's going on. I mean, this is just blatant racism. I mean, when you look at a guy getting shot and killed for a fake $20 bill and people storm the Capitol and nobody gets, my heart goes out to the heart of the officers and the officer that got killed and whatever. But, I mean, it's racism. Are we really surprised at what's going on? I mean, we can't be surprised anymore. I mean, I think that we have to take action. And if we don't take action, and you know, Faraji, I'm a financial guy. If it's not about finances, it's going to be when we sit up and be cognizant and take value of our dollars and where we're spending our dollars, everything is going to be the same. I mean, this can't be surprising to anyone.
Well, you know what? Here's the only thing I would throw in the mix of that discussion, that part of your analysis, and I appreciate that, Drake. The thing is, I don't think that folks are surprised, but here's the irony of that. We aren't surprised, but we're still hopeful. That's what I see as being one of the big ironic elements of when we see things like this happen, what has happened in the U.S. Capitol, when we see what was going on with George Floyd, when we see all of these national events that happen, we aren't surprised, but we're still hopeful. We're still hopeful that there that the reality that is showing that we're being shown is not actually real. We're still hopeful. So it's like, you know, to be, for example, it's like a good organizer. When a good organizer, as I was taught, it doesn't see how the world is the way it should be. It sees the world as it is. Because in order for you to bring some change in the world, you got to start from a place of reality. You got to start from a place of seeing people, circumstances, seeing systems. You got to see things the way they are as best as you can. As best as you can, because if you don't at least start from a place of reality, how are you going to be able to expand people's reality to see something that they have no understanding of? So you got to start there. And I think that what has, just to your point, Drake, I think that what has kind of taken place is that we have been seeing our world or this country through a lens of what it should be versus what it actually is. And because there is that discrepancy in our perception, we don't make moves. We are not in tune with the time to make better decisions that will lead to fruitful ends. Instead, we're always kind of behind the eight ball. Let's go back to the line. I want y'all to think about that. Let me hear from Clarence. Clarence, thank you for checking in. What's your take on what has happened in U.S. Capitol?
You know what, Faraji? Hey, man, I'm going to ask you to forgive me right off the bat, right?
Yes, sir.
No, black folks have not been seeing this country through the lens that you just explained. Black folks have been seeing this country through the lens that has been put out there for them by black elites, and the so-called black leadership, whose main job, as far as I'm concerned, is to pacify and obfuscate fact with a lot of political rhetoric and nonsense that is as far from the reality of what's going on with black folks in this country as it can be. Let me ask you a question. You just mentioned something about a black leadership conference.
Yes, sir.
Will any one of those people stand at that podium and give you the reality that every immigrant child, 5 or 6 years old, in 10 years will displace another black individual child in this country out of a job? No, they're not going to say that. Will they tell you that when Joe Biden talks about a multi-billion dollar infrastructure plan, building roads and bridges and redoing the infrastructure in this country, that that's like another version of Ronald Reagan's trickle-down economics? Because it's got to trickle down through the Latinos and the Mexicans, and the blacks will get whatever's left over because they're the ones that's out there doing the work. So, no, that narrative, the actuality of where we stand in this country and what's being done to us in this country will never be put out there by the so-called black leaders. You ain't going to have no one of those. They like, look, folks.
Well, we will see. Hey, Clarence, look. Trust me. Now, I bring folks on here. I want you to stick around for a few minutes because I think you will hear something. Stay tuned, brother. And I understand. Let me say this though, real quick.
I'm sorry,
though. No. You good, brother. You ain't gotta apologize to me. You didn't disrespect me or the platform, so you're absolutely good. The thing is, I agree with you. And I'm getting to a place myself, Clarence, where I'm starting to say, look, man, enough of the BS rhetoric, enough of the fantasy island style vision. Get people into a better quality of life, man. People are really suffering, hands down, across the board. Black folks, I mean, we're suffering. So we gotta really, like, if you're gonna serve black people, if you say you're going to save black people, then you gotta, you can't be pie in the sky, you know what I'm saying, waiting on something to come down and feed the masses type of, man, those teaching in those days are over.
Taraji, let me say this before, just this one thing.
Look, go ahead, man, real quick.
Since June of last year, I might have spent 70, right? I ain't spent nothing with a black man, not from a surveyor, not to a person to do an architect to change some floor plans for me. Couldn't even find a black man to hook water and sewage up to the property. See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, man, are you kidding me? And it ain't like I ain't been out there looking for him. It's like I got to be like Sherlock Holmes out there to get somebody to frame, a black man to frame a house. Where they at? Everything out there is somebody else. And you standing back there wanting to put some food on a black man's table, and it's like, damn, I got to go hire a private detective to find him for me.
I'm going to stop you right there, Clarence. I'm going to stop you right there. I hear you. Wow. Look, we really got to. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just laughing because we got some real pain around this issue, man. Of black and brown community working together, supporting one another. We got some real things we got to deal with. We can't deal with them right at this moment, but if you're listening, you will recognize that there's some real pain there. Let's go to Blair. Blair, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
First, the capital issue. The issue is, you know, America has told the world that it's tough on crime, it's tough on terrorists, it's tough on everything.
Got come a military on, man. Come on. Come on. Smoke
anybody else.
Yeah.
The Capitol building showed this was a lie. We saw. So why wouldn't you attack the Capitol building? I don't care if you have a mental health issue, you're white supremacist or whatever. Why not attack the Capitol building? Why? Because America's a soft target. Two, the people coming to America are coming through Central America. We don't recognize history anymore. We don't know. Someone mentioned Oliver North and the arms, right? The arms for cocaine deal back years ago. We destroyed people's country. We destroyed our own country by allowing the CIA to run cocaine, which became crack on the streets and urban communities. That's a whole dossier on that. Oliver North talks about that in his trial. That's documented. He says what we did. And thirdly, the infrastructure deal was supposed to be done prior to 9/11. Why? Because they were supposed to build a high-speed train that connected Washington, D.C. to Boston, which would have built the infrastructure, at least on this side of the world, on the Northeast Corridor, as well as around the other country. But we had wars upon wars for the last 21 years. All you're doing is going back to 21 years ago, and once again, we know on the East Coast for the most part, if you're not in a union, hello, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not in a union, and the union's going to go out to union contracts, to federal contractors. If you can't be in the bidding process, if you're not in the union, how are you going to get a job on a 1.3, 1.5, I don't care, multi-trillion dollar deal if you can't get your foot in the door to get a union card? You see, so once again, I think there's a lot of issues here. We don't know history. We understand that where the money's going to go, all the normal contractors are going to bid on the deal and get subcontractors who normally don't hire black folks. And America is a soft target. We have to start looking at what Malcolm said, what James Baldwin said. All of our ancestors said this before. It is chickens coming home to roost, but the problem is we're not in the pot.
All right, let me stop you right there, Blair. Thank you so much, sir. Let's go to Will. Will, thank you for checking in, then we get Dwayne.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on the air. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir, I can hear you clearly, Will. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Anyway, I want to try and touch on three things. I know I have a little time. That fool that murdered a Washington, D.C. police for the day was a Trump supporter, in my opinion. He was a Trump disciple. Trump, as we know, was a very evil man. He was a pathological liar. He was a hardcore racist who had little conscience. He would do anything to stay in power. And this is one of the results of that, not to mention many other things. Now, another thing I want to do is talk about immigration. I have nothing against people leaving their country to come to America for a better paying job, but we have to realize that you can't get 200 people in a boat designed for 20 people. Now, a long time ago when America was calling out to immigrants to come, you know, at free will, like 120, 150 years ago, America was very, very lightly populated. We could take that influx of people very easily, and they did make tremendous contributions. But unfortunately, America's become overcrowded. Jobs are horribly, horribly short in demand. Now, I worked on federal property for several years. I know somebody that worked on state property.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact the government was very quietly bringing in a lot of people who didn't even have a green card. They were bringing them in for extremely high-paying jobs. And many of these people were being promoted over blacks and whites. This is something the government has kept quiet about. It's not just people coming here to do janitorial work like we've been led to believe. It's a lot more to it than that. Mm. Now, another thing, too, we send these people back home. All they do is just wait a few days and come back to the United States. I think what we ought to consider doing, I'm saying consider, hold them in the United States, give them polygraph tests so we could be sure they were not sent here by our enemies. And
you're talking about immigrants in general?
Yes, especially for the, yes. They keep coming here. I thought they were coming illegally.
I got to just stop you there because I want to make sure I get some other voices, Will. But, folks, first thing, this wasn't an immigration conversation. It turned into that, and that's fine. It's organic. We're kind of sharing some thoughts. That's fine. But immigrants come here for a lot of different reasons. And if you're upset that the United States government has opened up its waterways and its doors to immigrants, then guess what's going to happen, folks? I mean, this government has been doing that for decades. Decades. You know what I mean? And let's keep it real. Like, a lot of our family are from other parts of the world. When you go down that genealogy, that family tree. So immigration is... Just as much as people act like immigration is not a part of the American tapestry, I beg to differ. That is one of the key elements of the American tapestry. Bringing people from other countries and modernize them, colonize them, however you want to say, Americanize them, and boom. That's what we do in this country. Dwayne. We got Dwayne on the line? Okay, Mr. Wayne. All right, let's go to Maurice. Maurice, talk to me, sir.
Yeah, Baraji, it's just amazing how we go through the same cycles over and over again. Like you said, this has been the tapestry of America, you know, the melting pot.
America didn't get the melting pot if we were just talking about its own citizens.
Realize that, you know, let me give you an example. You know, when we grew up, you know, they used to tell them racial jokes, the white man, the Chinese man, and the black man.
Yeah.
But, you know, the white man making $90 an hour, he think he better than the black man making $40 an hour, the Mexican making $20 an hour, and the black man think he's better than him. But the job pays $190 an hour, so everybody gets screwed. And that's just how it is. You know, I got a brother-in-law that works in these labs. And he said, you know, it's a lot of people from India coming over taking high-tech jobs. But the thing of it is, you know, out here, you know, in these cities, they're not training our youth to do plumbing, to do electrical work. The guy talked about he couldn't find nobody. You know, you get on some of these jobs and they won't hire black dude concrete work. You know, so it's been limited to it. If you look around Baltimore, and I have nothing against Spanish American, I'm Spanish myself. Where's the black men on these construction jobs? If we hiring people, you know, to do the construction jobs, the city, the state, seem like they would have a thing where, they have a set limit that you have to let everybody work. But you don't see it like that. So you got to realize that it's a trick to it.
I get you.
And the government's aware of it.
I get you.
And the system is working just like they want it to work.
Hey, look. And you know the biggest way they want it to work? To keep us at odds with one another?
Exactly.
So they raise up one. Look at it. Look at the situation, Maurice. You and I know it. They raise up the brother from the Latino community. They push down on the black man. They raise up the black woman. But the system is designed to keep us at odds with one another.
The trouble with America is the color line. Every time we reach a certain level, they put somebody in front of us.
Yeah,
And the people they put in front of us, they're going to bring them back down. If you remember, when I was growing up, they used to say Mexicans are lazy. Showed them underneath the tree with their sombreros on. Now they're hardworking people. Now we lazy. So,
that's a good point. Excellent point. Maurice, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for checking in. Folks, we got to take another pause. When we come back, let's shift the conversation. Let's talk about what's happening in D.C. to talking about what's happening in Black America. Let's talk about Black leadership. There's a major summit that's coming up that's going to be happening this weekend, folks, and it's going to be called the National Black Leadership Summit, taking place tomorrow, sponsored by the Nubian Leadership Circle. We're going to be checking in with Brother Siddiqui Cambone to give us some insight about what this summit is all about, who we can expect to say, and ultimately, what do we want to see come out of this summit. Folks, stick around. We got a lot to get to in the next hour of For the Culture here on WEAA.